If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love that forever is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is entering in where all that is resides. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into what you can imagine would be a timeless, limitless, absolutely perfect new world. Because that's what we're being called to come into. And I believe that we have just completed the very last portion of bridging that timeline that most of us came in on to complete this dimensional outpicturing and homogenize it with the light that we are and to lift it all in that great shift of the ages. I truly believe that we have made that stitch in time that saved nine, as Ashtar likes to call it, on the 27th. Do you know, I went to bed at 8:30 in the evening, and I awakened at 9:30 the next morning. I never do that. If I can sleep for 6 hours, usually, that's it for me. But when I awakened, the whole quality of the vibration of the day was completely different. And then I realized that what I had spoken of in a previous seminar, maybe it was last week, maybe it was the week before, when I spoke about how we of the Ashtar Galactic Command can facilitate timeline replacement and dimensional, trans-dimensional replacement to where you are repositioned beyond certain things that could have occurred if you had proceeded on in that particular timeline and dimensional grid overlay. We live in a quantum universe which offers the operative exercising of any number of choices within any given scenario. And as a spirit, as a soul, before you make commitment to any particular incarnational timeline, and you sit above, as it were, almost like a spider at the center of the web, or at the center of the hub of, let's say, a bicycle wheel with multiple spokes, you are not limited. When you're functioning from soul awareness or spiritual awareness, that's living above the karma dramas of the time-space involvements and points of identification. When you're operating above that, which meditation and spiritual exercises are designed to teach you how to do, when you're above that, you can exercise truly pristine and conscious choice. When you come down and get all involved in the storyline and the drama, and you buy into that holodeck programming, you no longer have that free operation. You're wedded, as it were, to a particular outcome, as long as you hold that as your point of identification. That's why many of us for years now have been practicing some form of spiritual detachment, some form of being able to get above the event horizons of the gerbil cage in the third dimensional world. To the degree that we're able to anchor and stabilize awareness at a higher level, to that degree are we free of the karmic repercussions of the level beneath which we are. So gradually we learn through soul transcendence to park our life expression above level after level after level, until eventually we are able to transcend all of the time-space continuums of the lower dimensional levels. And then we enter into real creativity, real expression, and real life. And that begins at the level that we call the fifth plane of soul, or the fifth dimension, or Satchkhand, which is a Sikh term that means the realm of truth, or Satya Loka, which is a term for the true world in Sanskrit, or the realm of Sat Nam. And Sat Nam is the first divine manifestation of the formless absolute God that governs that kingdom of soul, or the kingdom of God, as it's often termed. And that Sat Nam is the true name, or Hashem, it would be in Jewish, in Hebrew. And it has many, many different terms in the different spiritual traditions. But tonight we want to look at it in a different way, because we're called now into a newness that I truly believe we don't have any markers for, because it's very unconditioned. And we keep wanting to see what's going to happen, you know, after the end of the Mayan calendar, which according to Dr. Kahneman is this month, the 28th of this month, 2011. According to others, it's December 21st, 2012. And then there's others that think we're going through the major ascension on 11-11-11. So very often people who are wedded to the concept of time and distance keep postulating distance and keep projecting in front of themselves something which then they, in time-space, perforce, have to walk out because they're the creator of their particular momentum. The only difference between our creating here in time and space and creating in the higher realms is that in the higher realms, it's instant without any time involvement. Down here, we lose that sense of continuity between when we intend something and when it actually precipitates and manifests in our life. But sometimes, depending on, how much we've held that focus, sometimes it can take decades before we actually see a manifestation. But our entire life is the present manifestation of all those momentums that we have energized and set in motion at some point. So karma is really involved with meeting our creations, having them return to us, because nothing truly leaves the Creator. It resides in that universe that surrounds us and plays back to us as the events of our life, but it's all contained within our auric field. So in entering into this new pristine world, this new earth, this new version of earth, we are actually departing the realms of our own creation, which would be our mental momentums, our emotional momentums, our physical habit patterns. And there's a few people who are actually in touch with genuine spiritual creativity, which comes when you are spiritually integrated with your soul and with your spirit or monad. When you're integrated and infused, spiritually speaking, then you really start to have some power down here in the realm of time and space. And so we learn to exercise preferential directives in how we move forth with our mind, with our emotions, and what we commit to in terms of what we really want to walk out in this lower dimensional world. That's why young souls are very, very ambitious. They have a lot of things they want to do and experience. Whereas older souls, they're kind of laid back and would appear perhaps without motive or even lazy to just a casual observer. It's more a case of not wanting to set things in motion in the lower dimensions that then require addressing in the laws of cause and effect and polarization and duality. They're learning to create from a position of soul awareness, which is supreme detachment, vairagya, as it's called in Sanskrit, and viveka, which is supreme discernment of what is eternal and worth energizing, and the things that are really distractive and wasting time. So we're looking always at how to create from the most masterful positioning of our consciousness that we can possibly exercise. And it is the level probably least exercised, because it doesn't take that level to deal with going to your job and raising your kids and doing life in the material world. That's why we learn to do all things with excellence down here, to where they become a habit, and then we can live above that doing and begin to really bring in a higher quality of awareness into everything we do, so that we literally bring heaven to earth through us and everything that is done through us. I want to look for a moment with you at prayer. Most people pray at some point in their life. Some people pray daily, while others only when they're in dire distress or have a need that they can't personally handle. For many people, prayer is a last resort, while with some, it's a first response. However, the fact is that regardless of when or how or if we pray, we're always asking for what has already been given. We have a statement from John Roger in MSIA, and the statement is, the blessings already are, which doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense until you get what I just said, which is, when we pray, we are always asking for what has already been given. Again, I remind you that Earth is in a time lag. every single thing that's happening has already happened. So that we are having, let's say, an opportunity to make different choices within this matrix that we were looking at, these bicycle spokes of parallel probable realities and choices within the time-space continuum. But these are all just repetitions of things that we've already chosen at some point and acted on. Because when you act in spirit, it's concomitant. In other words, everything is expressed at the same time within multiple layers of reality and dimensional perspective. That's how, in one case, we have prophecy. Because those that prophesy usually are those souls that have come back in time and have read the outcome of the particular event horizon that we keep energizing. You can see where it's ending. That's why we are now called to do a new thing, a different thing. And I believe when the Mayans tell us that we are now entering into no time, that what they're telling us is that we are transcending those timelines to a place where we can literally, as Jose Aguilé so beautifully phrased back during the time of the harmonic convergence, that we're surfing what he called the Zuluya, which would be the cosmic waves that are constantly cascading new possibilities and light engenderments that are coming towards us always. And we can learn to ride the crest and shoot through the curl and really have fun with the energies that are coming towards us now if we can just let the past go. You know, we just have to let it go. So when we look at prayer, this is an important part of that because we're breaking a paradigm here in looking at prayer because, let me just enumerate the different types of prayer and we'll see where they fit in. The first type of prayer is petition. This is where you would say, God, you know, dear God, please help me, heal me, bless me, protect me. You know, it's always the, dear God, please do whatever. That's petition. Then you have the approach that most Christians use, which is coming into agreement with a scriptural word of God. And it's speaking back to God, echoing his own promises and saying, for example, you said in your word, Lord, and then you quote the promise. And this was the approach that Jesus started out with when he was being tested right after his baptism, before he entered into full-time ministry. He was in that state of agreeing with the scriptural word of God as he confronted the tests that Satan was putting him through at the time. He always said, it is written, and then he would quote the scriptural word. So that's coming into agreement with God's spoken scriptural word, which is a very good place to start. Now, there is also what is called invocation. This is something we use a lot in MSIA, where we say such things as, Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the light of the Christ and the light of the Holy Spirit. We are invoking the light of the Christ and the light of the Holy Spirit as if it was not who we were and are and have always been. See what I mean? There's a distancing in that too. Then you have the evocation, which is what I often use when I address you just before the seminar. I'll say something like, call yourself forward into. And again, that kind of connects the dot between who you think you are and what you've always been. If that merging and touching from the time-bound self into the eternal self, which is an advancement of our understanding here. And none of these are right or wrong. They're just steps that we are using at different times. Then we have a fifth form, which we would call postulation. Postulation is speaking it into manifestation. It would be where you you state what you would have manifest right then. I speak into this situation, divine order. I take authority over this energetic. I bind this quality. I release this essence. See what I mean? You are speaking in a very affirming and authoritative way into an energetic. And then you have the best one, I think, for what we're dealing with tonight, and that's where you actually own and embody whatever it is that you would receive. You come into the energy havingness of that, which is within you, so you have to move your spiritual inner awareness to where that is within you, own it, and then embody it. And the best way you embody it is to act as if you have it. That in acting as if is what quickens it and causes it to begin to energize through you. So as you understand these different levels of working with energy, you come to realize that in order for us to live our heart's desire, the only one that's delaying the process is our own hesitancy to move in, to enter in where all that is already resides. So we're learning, and I hope in each successive seminar, we're learning how to transcend time and embrace eternity. Eternity is the state of eternal havingness. There is no lack. It's the fullness. And we probably will understand it only in entering in and experiencing it directly, because it isn't something you can talk about. The minute you start to talk about it, you distance it from the having, because you're going into linear speech, which in this world is always related to time. That's why at a certain level, silence is the language of the realized soul. And perhaps that's why the advanced ultra-terrestrial races generally communicate through it's beyond mental telepathy. Let's call it soul merging. Perhaps Spock had a good idea when he called it the Vulcan mind meld. But I would call it the transcendental oneness that we share at that level as soul, which is a unified field in which there is nothing hidden and all is simply is. So that's perhaps the reason why very advanced races do not speak vocally. And yet at the same time, vocal speech is part of the manifestation of God, since we were literally spoken into existence by God. So we are a manifestation of that primordial living word. So in prayer, we have been in the habit of asking God for what he has already given us completely and eternally. because everything that God gives is from the eternal wholeness in which we forever reside with God. So even the departure from that awareness is temporary and illusory. We will awaken and find that we have never left the heart of God. But meanwhile, we're having an experience as if we were very separate, as if there was something to be achieved, something that needed doing. So let's look at this a little more closely. What is it that you find yourself praying for over and over again? Is it physical health, provision? Is it spiritual direction, clarity? Is it for your loved ones and their well-being? You know, we can start to worry about our kids when we forget that our children are incarnations of God. They're part of God. They're extensions of God. And they can't leave God in anything except a temporary illusion. All separation is a temporary bad dream, a nightmare. So whatever it is, just begin to meditate and contemplate on the fact that you already have it. If it's good, if it will bring you greater love, light, awareness, abundance, fulfillment, it's yours. That's God's will for you. You have it. The challenge is moving, making that choice to move your inner awareness to that, to the havingness of that. And you have to go against the tide of the world because very few people even realize that they can do that. And fewer still that realize they can do that exercise the choice to actually do that. So if you want it enough, you will be vigilant for those eternal things. Now, you may not know how to appropriate this yet, but you do have it, and you will be able to partake of it and enjoy it. So the more you lean into it, the more you court it, the more you focus on it, the more you energize it with your intention and the love of your heart, the welcoming of your heart, the more you'll begin to actually discover it popping up all around you. You'll become aware of how to actually reach into it vibrationally and to recognize it as your own. So life here in time is really all about remembering and returning in awareness to who and what you are and have eternally. You know, it's all about that. And the restoration of that is what Jesus specifically incarnated to do. When he said it is finished, he meant that time was re-bridged back into eternity, to the all that is forever. He did that. So that gave us permission back 2,000 years ago to step out of any form of time-bound limitation. But he knew that it would take us a while to break those karmic attachments and momentums. But now, you know, we're in that time when time is coming to an end. The cycle for exercising differentiation and separation and polarization is finished. Now, you know, ready or not, we're being thrust into no time and into a new reality, which is pretty exciting. So all sense of lack and disability and shortcoming is really a temporary state that you are in process of transcending at this time. At any point, you can, through faith and love, which transcends every form of time and limitation, that's that miracle that they speak of in the Course in Miracles that is always born of love, Love absolutely suspends the laws of the lower realms. Love, which is a manifestation of grace, which is a manifestation of God's love, always transcends the lower fields of limitation. Always. That's why you can have instant healing. You can have instant anything. Anything can happen in an instant that has no reference to anything that came before. It suspends the law of karma. It suspends the limitation of time and space and gravity and any other limitation that's part of the lower worlds. So remember that. Nothing is impossible with God. At any moment, your release of faith can cause a miracle to happen. In fact, sometimes people aren't even believers. And God just does something miraculous anyway. So it isn't even dependent on our faith. So any form of pain in this dimension of time entrainment is the result of the conflict between reality and illusion. Any form of pain in this dimension of time entrainment is the result of the conflict between reality and illusion. Just like when you rub two sticks together, and eventually, if you're a good Boy Scout or Girl Scout, you can cause a fire. Well, the self, the true self, and the false self rub back and forth together on the cross of time and space. And in that process, the lower self is crucified, and the resurrected and dies, and the resurrected Christ rises from the tomb of material limitation into eternal life. And that would be an esoteric understanding of what took place on the cross of Calvary. But every soul is crucified on the cross of time and space. And in the crucible of the self and the not-self and the life and the time-bound worlds, you eventually die to limitation and are born to limitless light and limitless creativity. That is just the archetypal manifestation for every incarnated spirit. So the abrasion of false appearances causes irritation when they rub against your truth. That's why we react when things rub us the wrong way, when they're not true, when they're not just, when they're not accurate. And at some point, you know, people rise up in their masses because they've had enough, which is what we're seeing happening today on these peaceful Wall Street gatherings that are appearing now all throughout the United States and the world. People have had enough. And so that unlimited self is appearing in to every area of life now and saying, wait a minute, enough already. This is unjust. This is wrong. This is inhumane. That's the awakening of the global soul, the global consciousness, the global conscience. So what are these false appearances that we're referring to here? Well, let me ask you on a personal level, what irritates, troubles, worries, and causes you to feel lacking on any level? Go ahead, look at it. What is it that causes you to feel threatened or lacking in any area of your life? That, beloved, is a false appearance. You know, when you realize who you are, that you're the fullness itself, temporarily presenting into time and space, to shine away the lack, to illumine it so it can be full. You have to come as the light into the darkness in order to awaken the light within the darkness. That's the whole dance that you're doing. So your reality is that you're eternally part of God. You're made of God. I remember when I was a little girl, my mother used to always say this to me. She said, little girls are made of sugar and spice and all things nice. That's what little girls are made of. Little boys are made of rags and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. And since I was a tomboy, I preferred to be made of rags and snails and puppy dog tails. No, not exactly. The truth is, you, every one of us, every spirit, every soul is made of the living word of God's song of love. You are God's Bhagavad Gita, his divine song of love. And you're made of God's limitless, eternal light. So you're light and sound. Your divine symphonic harmony in a very specific musical motif that's unique to each soul. And your divine design of limitless eternal light that is uniquely your own. That's the mystery of godliness, is that we're one with God and yet we're also limitless in our own unique presentation of that. Some schools of thought say that we merge with God into one amorphous mass. But actually, we do not do that. We merge with the Spirit of God. And that is very different than merging with God. So God always remains transcendental, even as we go forward as whole light beings that will develop into, depending on our ray of manifestation and our gifts and proclivities, we will go into the universes yet to be created to create a new worlds, new peoples, new races, new root races, new rounds of expression and creative endeavor. So there's an ongoing progression of who we are as spiritual beings that is so vast that it gives me great joy when I contemplate it. You know, there's so much more than this tadpole down here in this little frog pond of the world. There's so much more. So you are the living word, the living light, and the living love of God. You are a living scripture. Your scriptural encodements are unique also to you. You're an answered prayer. And you're expressing through the living temple of your human body. Your body is a temple in which the Spirit of the living God resides. So as a soul, you are called in the ancient esoteric writings a son of sacrifice. Why sacrifice? Because as an immortal spirit, you willingly sacrificed your awareness of eternal life in the divine throne realms to manifest here in this limited human form of despair and death. Why would you do that? Again, you came on a mission of redemption. And it's only in bringing the light down into this lowest density, which is the carbon-based molecular atom, atomic structure. It's only in bringing the light to this lowest vibrational presentation that you can lift things back into, you can reclaim them and appropriate them and draw them back into the higher realms. Jesus said it when he went to the cross. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all mankind unto me." He was speaking of the cross, but he was also speaking of the Christ action. So while there was the physical manifestation of that, he was doing that new thing in spirit by bridging time with eternity and overcoming time, which again I've told you in Sanskrit is called Kal, K-A-L, which means time and darkness. We live in the Kali Yuga, the time of densest darkness, just before the dawn and light of a new dispensation. So as an individualized soul, you had to die to eternity to be born into time. Just as in returning to eternity, you must die to this world of time to be spiritually reborn to eternal life. I think that brings it into greater clarity, perhaps, the work of the cross and your manifestation as a Christed soul. As St. Francis so beautifully said in his prayer, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. But the only thing that ever dies is an illusion. Nothing that God created ever dies. Nothing that God created can ever be destroyed. So what is it that dies and gets destroyed? It's part of the fallen thought forms that entered into creation with the fall. But they're not truth. That which is truth has eternal life. So you see, everything appearing here in this world is the exact reversal and the opposite of the way things really are. And what we have down here, we've fallen down the rabbit hole, my friends. We're having an Alice in Wonderland journey. So the most important gift that the firstborn Son of God, the first fruit of the tree of life, the Christ, did for us all was to restore us to eternity. And if you look at it, every single miracle that Jesus did was a transcending of the limitations of the material world. Everything. He did everything the reverse opposite of the way people were living at the time. You know, the priests wanted to do the old thing. The lawgivers wanted to abide by the old laws. But he said, behold, I've come to do a new thing. I make all things new. I've come to gift you with a new covenant, a new agreement ratified in my blood. They didn't want that. You destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. They thought he was talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about his physical body. You destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days, which he did. If you want to argue about the time factor, in Judaism, any portion of 24 hours of a day is considered a full day. So that answers that question. So Jesus returned original unlimited abundance and wholeness, that more abundant life with every word and every action that he did. Nothing could stay unwhole in his wholeness. His wholeness brought the dead back to life. It brought the sick back to wholeness. It brought the sin-laden back to holiness. It brought new life and regeneration everywhere. And our lives are designed to be the same. So I dare you to read the four Gospels with this awareness in mind. Begin to read it and see the ways that Jesus reversed the laws of material bondage and limitation into eternal freedom. He says, I've come to set the captives free. We've been bound by time, by the noose of time. And then read the book of Acts and observe how the early followers of Jesus did the same things. You know, they acted completely out of the box. Completely. So the entire Bible from beginning to end is a revelation of how God was returning a lost in time sleeping atomic race back to limitless eternal life. And when Jesus said it is finished, that restoration from the time-born and time-bound limitation to eternal life was completed, and nothing else needed to be done by man. But receive it, believe it, and enter fully into it. So this is the real promised land, that the earlier promised land of Canaan was a foretelling or foreshadowing in history of what now, in historical time, of what now is being consummated beyond time. We're going beyond time with this shift of the ages into the real promised land that God has intended for us to have for eternity. So we're now called in to enter in and claim it. The ascension, the rapture, the dimensional shift, the new Jerusalem, the new earth, all of these are describing our entering into this pristine new state, new vibration, new consciousness, new awareness, a new thing. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new. I'm doing a new thing." And so this is the new covenant and the more excellent way that he brought into manifestation and ratified with his shed blood 2,000 years ago for you and me. So these are the ways of saying that you can't lose or fail or miss out because it's already been accomplished before the foundation of this world. Jesus was the blemishless lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before the fall ever occurred, the sacrifice of atonement and at-one-ment and assurance of joining in eternity was already consummated in God, in eternity, and then walked out historically in time. So while you and I were sleeping and distracted by dark dreams, it was already offered, the atonement, for our eventual awakening and return. I was shown this week, as I contemplated, that we're now awakening beyond time, and that's why remote viewers and psychics can't see beyond 2012. They just see a blank, and time is said to end by the Mayan prophecies. And I believe that's why, is that we won't have a conditioned timeline that we will be moving into. We will go into no time, and of course, who can understand what no time is, because everything down here is time-based. So Jesus revealed that our restoration to eternal life is already complete, and we're now becoming aware of it. It's like we're, yawning and stretching and awakening to a totally bright new day, just like I felt them, when I awakened on Sunday morning after sleeping for, 12 hours? So since the 27th, then, that night that I slept from 8:30 at night to 9:30 in the morning, I really felt like we had gone through that polar shift. I think I told you that I had the dream of being on the inner planes and going through the polar shift. And I do believe that I was allowed to see just enough of that to let you know that something definitely happened. And we've been advanced beyond the possibility of many of the timeline prophecies that involved the 3 days of darkness and the shifting of the planet on its axis and all of that. That may happen to a version of the Earth, but we're not going to be on it. And I believe we've already been shifted into the new momentum, whatever you want to call that. And, since then I've been seeing things in a very new light myself. In fact, I really don't, I feel like a little pole, you know, with wobbly legs, not quite able to stand up and steady myself yet, because it is all new and undefined. The only thing I can say for sure is that it's very unconditioned, it's very clear, neutral, peaceful, and free. You know, I just feel like a lot has, you know, is lifted off and that I don't have to consider it anymore. So check out how you may also be experiencing this new thing that the Christ is doing in you. I believe that the two versions of the earth are separating so rapidly now that to each his own goes forth. You know, each one of us will go to the frequency we are most in sync with. I think the remaining skein of time-bound events is going to whiz by us so fast now that it'll be difficult for us to keep track of it. Just be one thing after another as it winds down. But everything that you see happening in the world news, just keep remembering and reminding yourself it's already happened. It's already been enacted before. So it's okay for you to lay it to rest because it's already been completed in God. It's already been laid to rest. It's already been healed. It's already been restored. It's already been renewed. You know, it's like a drama that has run for too long on Broadway, and it's you know, it's now ready to be closed down for good. So the shift of the ages, I believe, in my understanding, has occurred, and all has been given. And so for us, it's simply a matter of allowing the ways that were to be replaced with how things can be in this moment. How would you like them to be in this moment? And then move your attention into consummating that, embodying that. A good place to start, perhaps, is to ask Jesus to show you how to see yourself and your life and everything through new eyes. When he said, "Behold, I make all things new," ask him to show you how to behold all things new, how to live in new ways, to adopt new perspectives, to see with new vision of new possibilities that you didn't even realize were there before. And enjoy, you know, enjoy your life. If you know you're free, if you know you're home, if you know you're loved, if you know that all of this is just entertainment on a journey without distance from to a destination that you've never ever left. Don't you think you could kick back and just enjoy the journey and your traveling companions? So we are progressing to a vibrational reality that is pristine and new and unknown. And when we do know, I would say the only thing we could really know about it is that this new state is one of pure loving harmony and unlimited creative expression. So you will be able to design and adorn this new world through your own awakened abilities and by the power of your true spiritual identity. We're going to learn how to be spiritually creative from the soul level. And in the soul plane, those of us that are soul awareness initiates have been practicing for years how to move into that realm and put into that level what we would like to have there. So many of you that listen to these seminars have already been practicing these things for a while. And that's good to remind yourself of as well. So this week, in the way of a homework, if you'd like to, whatever it is that you think you need, lack, or desire, pretend that you already have it. Begin to seek the evidence that you have it. Begin to look for it all around you. And that you do, in fact, have it right now. And then begin to focus your attention your speech, your expression, in portraying how you are. Now that you have this desired thing, just play it out. Make it real. Become a real method actor and really get into your role. And that is exactly how you will more consciously awaken to this new world where everything that is resides. So I hope this has been helpful for you. You've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And these are cosmic pep talks for closet Christs, for those of us who are ready to step into the fullness that Jesus exemplified and presented and made possible for us. And now is simply the time for us to partake of what he has referred to as the wedding supper. And so we're being called forth into that wedding supper, which is the consummation of our divine union with the Beloved and the celebration of that, which is what we will all enjoy. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. And we say, Baruch Bashan, the blessings already are Adonai.